I'm Steve Lascazo, and this is The Way, Phase 4's WandaVision Season 1, Episode 6 discussion. All new Halloween Spooktacular coming right up. If you want to take part in the discussion, email us to thisistheway4@gmail.com or find us on Twitter, @thewayphase4. You can also find us on Facebook. Anything new since last week? Well, the episode description for last week's episode on a very special episode was made available by 12:30 a.m. Eastern Time the day before the newest episode dropped. It said, Wanda addresses Vision's worries when he grows suspicious of the neighbor's strange behavior. Now, the episode description was immediately available for this week's episode, All New Halloween Spooktacular. It was available the day I watched it. Disturbances on Halloween separate Wanda from Vision, who looks into anomalous activity in Westview. And it's a pretty accurate description of the episode. But where we last left off was, last episode, Monica recovered at the Sword Base Camp outside the Westview Anomaly, or Hex, as Dr. Lewis is calling it. Outside, Hayward plots to take lethal action against Wanda for making off with Vision's body. Inside, the plot thickened as Vision became more and more aware of the machinations Wanda is going through to keep the town on the air. Their twins didn't waste much time growing in the womb and continued to age quickly outside it, going from newborns to 5 and then 5 to 10 in the very same special episode. Finally, Wanda's brother Pietro joins Vision, but sadly not Sparky, as those who have gone from death to life inside the Hex, though all may not be as it seems.
Previously on WandaVision.
What happened on last week's episode? Well, there was a previously on WandaVision, preceded by two Disney Plus splash screens with two different snap sounds. The first, the same Disney Plus original splash screen that we've been seeing before every episode. But there was an extra one. There's a Disney plus Pixar plus Marvel plus Star Wars plus National Geographic, all titles featured streaming now, splash screen with a different sounding snap. And then we get into the scenes. Wanda magics a collar for Sparky from last episode. Vision confronts her. You made no effort to conceal your abilities. Well, I'm tired of hiding, Viz. And then he says, what aren't you telling me? We have Norm's breakdown. You have to stop her. Just make her stop. Vision comes to Wanda in the kitchen. You can't control me the way you do them. She says, can't I? Darcy voices over the Full House pan-up shot of the run in the park. And there was a shot from the title sequence in episode 3 of Vision flipping burgers with super speed while she says she has the world's only vibranium synthesoid playing Father Knows Best in Suburbia. What happens when he learns the truth? I wanted to call Director Hayward Director Krennic for some reason, but it's Hayward out in the field. It's not Krennic from Star Wars. He says, you've taken an entire town hostage. And she says, Wanda says, I'm not the one with the guns, Director. Wanda makes the gunman target Hayward. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wanda touches the barrier, turns red. There's a scene from episode 3 where she talks to Geraldine after having twins. And she says, I had a brother. His name was Pietro. And then there's a scene from Avengers Age of Ultron of Aaron Taylor Johnson's version getting nicked on the shoulder by a bullet, then staggering and collapsing after being shot multiple times by Ultron in that gunship. And then Geraldine voices over part of her line, he was killed by Ultron. Wanda opens the door at the end of last week's episode to see Evan Peters' version from the latest X-Men movies. And he says, long lost bro, get to squeeze his stinking sister to death or what? Maybe that squeeze her to death is going to mean something in the future. And then Darcy goes meta for us saying,
she recast Pietro?
We also have the Marvel Studios title sequence. Again, it appears unaltered. And I really kind of liked what they did in that first episode where it faded to gray and also the sound went a little bit mono instead of stereo. I thought that was really cool. But we get to the WandaVision episode title sequence. Very Malcolm in the Middle-esque. From the visuals to the sound of the theme. The Lopez duo, I've been giving them a lot of credit for doing amazing work on the theme songs, but apparently not this time. This theme, I think from the credits, was arranged and orchestrated by a band called The Math Club. But just to let you know, I read an article on Marvel.com where they talk about the Lopez husband and wife team hiding what they called the Devil's Interval in each version of the theme song. It's a tritone, I think they said. And it's an interesting little bit of context where they talk about their process from each of the first 4 songs they did. They called them Newlywed Couple, WandaVision, we got something cooking, and then they skipped an episode, and then last episode was making it up as we go along, and then now, I don't know if they're going to do it going forward, but the Math Club did this latest episode. And Chris Beck is likewise doing amazing things with the score, so the Lopez's did a great job, and the Math Club did a great job, and Chris Beck has been doing a great job with the score the whole season. Now, when we get to the actual visuals of the theme song, right away I had to freeze frame and take note of the things on the view display. So there's a zoom in the upper left. There's a file icon of some kind in the lower left, but it's a tape camera, so I don't really know what that file thing looked like or meant to, you know, stood for. It's in standard play record mode. That's usually the middle setting, so it's not long play or extended play. There's a battery icon, and we're seeing this in play mode since there's a green arrow and not a red circle, right? The time code is at like 1 hour, 48 minutes, 27 seconds, and some frames. No idea if that has any meaning at all, but throughout the whole fast-forwarded intro, it's all one take, and it gets to 1 hour, 49 minutes, 19 seconds in assorted frames. And I think the timer is running pretty much the whole time, even when they freeze frame to go or like to show what their title is, like Wanda Max starring Wanda Maximoff and stuff like that. That I think the time code is still running. So the fast forwarding that takes place in between also seems to be happening during recording, but Tommy doesn't seem to have his powers yet. So it's very confusing. I think it's just one of those things that they didn't try to think too much about. There appears to be 39 minutes of tape left at 16-bit recording, and it's 11:26 a.m. when we see the first video start, and the lyrics go, Wanda, WandaVision, don't try to fight the chaos, don't question what you've done, the game can try to play us, don't let it stop the fun. Some days it's all confusion, easy come and easy go, but if it's all illusion, sit back, enjoy the show. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going through each distorted day. Let's keep it going, though there may be no way of knowing who's coming by to play. Now, the game, what is the game? Who is trying to play them? I don't know. Don't let it stop the fun. Is that the sword? Is that sword? Some days it's all confusion, but if it's all illusion, is, you know, illusion, remember, was one of their titles in the talent show, Illusion. So it's just, you know, there's a lot that you could try to glean from just the lyrics of the song. But during that song, it starts out with Tommy starting by heading to the bathroom to catch Wanda brushing her teeth. And she looks very disheveled. He heads downstairs to see Vision reading the newspaper. It's got an ad for a TV on the back again, like it has in just about every episode. Anytime there's a newspaper there, he bops him on the head with it. Then Tommy goes to the kitchen and I see a stuffed dog on the counter, if you slow down the video. And then there's a picture on the refrigerator with two stick figure kids, two adults, and a dog. And then there's a picture of a fish, too. They must miss Sparky, right? But it's Catherine Hahn's naughty butt in the way that we see, you know, prominently on screen there. Agnes is bent over looking in the fridge. She's very comfortable in the house, and she's around the kids a lot. And apparently she's there with Billy alone. Then Tommy speeds outside, catches everyone coming out on the front lawn, but Uncle Pietro's there to come and grab him, take him back in front of the house for a family picture without Agnes, and there's a stylized WandaVision font appearing on the screen with the smiling, happy family. Everyone was a character, right? Wanda Maximoff. Pietro was specifically playing himself, so I don't know if Wanda is doing that with the intros, but she specifically had Pietro, if she is in fact the one that's doing it, playing himself.
Halloween's a magical holiday.
After that intro, Malcolm in the Middle continues. Tommy and Billy are talking straight to the camera, giving each other a hard time about the meaning of Halloween. The way the scenes are cut is very Malcolm in the Middle. Eventually, they make their way out to the living room. Uncle Pietro is snoring on the couch. He overhears them talking about how it's 4 in the afternoon and he's sleeping and maybe he's a vampire. He wakes, uses super speed, surprises them, even putting on a Sokovian or maybe a Transylvanian accent or something, saying, blood is thicker than water, I show you. It's maybe subtle subconscious nod to trust him being the actual Pietro, like blood is thicker than water. Wanda comes downstairs in a costume very reminiscent of her comic book appearance. Billy asks if she's old Red Riding Hood. Tommy says it's a rad costume. Pietro says, though, it's lame. So he's negging her here. If he was complimenting her all the time, then it might be harder for her to accept him as the brother, even though they seem to get along very well in Age of Ultron, right? Wanda says it's a Sokovian fortune teller costume, but really, that's what it is? I don't know. Pietro says it's worse than the costumes their mom made them the year they got typhus. But Wanda looks confused at that. And there's an inserted cutaway gag scene like you'd see in 30 Rock or Arrested Development or Monty Python, Scrubs, Family Guy. It's a cutaway gag. And there's a Sokovian woman putting a fish into Pietro's bag for trick-or-treat. And there's no way they would go trick-or-treating in a war zone like that. And I'm not even sure if Sokovia would celebrate Halloween at all. So Wanda being confused, it's probably like, she says, I don't remember it like that. But Pietro says,
you probably suppressed a lot of the trauma.
Kind of like she has been doing for this whole series, right? Billy talks to Screen saying, Wanda has been weird since Pietro got there, but maybe it's just because he's a man-child. But that doesn't really jive with the way Pietro was played in Avengers Age of Ultron either, does it? Vision comes downstairs in a costume that Wanda says is an homage to Mexican wrestlers. It's really an homage to his comic book origins. And she thanks him for humoring her by wearing it. But he says there was nothing else in the closet. And there's a little tense little moment. But then he laughs and she laughs. And the obvious implication is moved past. Vision asks the boys if they're ready to trick-or-treat. But it seems like they're just playing a wrestling video game, you know, to go with that thing. Because they said, oh, headlock. Vision doesn't remember life before rescue, right? But he remembers what Wanda says about Pietro. Because he says, I didn't really know what to think of him. But he says, oh, he's so great with kids. And that's over a shot of Pietro teaching them to chug soda. Anyway, Vision turns to leave. Wanda's confused. She says he's going undercover for the neighborhood watch. But Wanda says, that's not what you're supposed to... And he cuts her off saying, what? Well, you know, not supposed to what? Billy turns to camera to tell us they haven't been fighting. They've just been different. She chides Vision saying he has to be there for their first Halloween. Remember, just last episode, they were babies. Uncle P to the rescue, though. He steps in saying he'll take care of being the father figure for the evening. He's got the old XY chromosomes, right? Vision seems fine with it, says goodbye to the kids, tells Wanda to be good. He also says, I smell crime. He does a little funny crime fighter leap, opens the door, which has a fall-themed heart wreath on the outside of it. And Wanda closes it and turns around, and Pietro scares her. He asks where the water balloons are for the shaving cream, blames it on Tommy, but calls him Billy. So much for being a great uncle, right? Doesn't even get the kids' names right. She says he doesn't have a costume, so he takes Tommy's hand, speeds out the door, and comes back with a homemade-looking version of Quicksilver's costume from the comics. And Speed, or Tommy, is dressed just like Quicksilver, down to the hair details. And at first, I thought they looked kind of like a Wolverine-ish, but then I looked up his comic book image, and I guess they fit that Quicksilver costume. She relents, but says the family is respectful, and if there's any funny business, she's going to magic him into a pickled herring. So I guess the pickled herring was what the old woman had put in his bag in the previous cutaway gag. Well, now we're outside at Sword Base Camp, and it doesn't seem like it's been long since Wanda made her threats, because hazmat-geared personnel bring in a still-glowing drone from when Wanda threw it on the grass when she came outside the Hex. Now, they're in hazmat gear, but no one else in the tent is, which is kind of defeating the purpose, right? I mean, it wasn't a proximity thing either, because Hayward comes into the tent. He walks very close by. He points to it, almost pointing or touching it almost, and orders a workup on it. And then other people come in after them, like Rambo. She comes in and says she's upset that he didn't tell her about the missile. Hayward says, well, now we know who we're dealing with. And clearly he has a preconceived notion about Wanda. Lewis is there. She gives him grief, saying he almost got murdered by his own murder squad. But why didn't they shoot her then? Why didn't they shoot Wanda if there was a murder squad there, right? If later he says that would have ended it, why didn't they just shoot Wanda? unless they're afraid of her, or unless that's really not what they're after. Hayward asks if she works for him, meaning Lewis. Lewis says she doesn't know. Rambeau says she's with her. So Hayward sticks to the TV theme and says, so which one of you is the sassy best friend? And then Agent Wu steps in because he's, well, you know, a nice guy, and Hayward's being a jerk. He says they're about to start a war they can't win. Hayward again has some ideas that Wanda wasn't going to negotiate, and taking her out ends the nightmare. But Monica starts to make sense of this whole situation. They don't know anything. They don't know what happens if Wanda dies, in there or outside, right? If she could die in there, and then the rest of the world is it ends, you know? Or she says they can't outgun her, so maybe that's why, maybe they knew that. Maybe they knew they couldn't shoot her. Antagonizing makes things worse, she says. And she also says, if she's the problem, she's also the solution, which makes a lot of sense. Then Hayward starts to make no sense. He says, she's become an impediment. Really? Because episode before, you're like, hey, thanks to the intel that we got, we know what we're dealing with. Anyway, she says she's advocating constantly on behalf of superpowered individuals. Really? She clearly did not want to bring up Captain Marvel earlier to Lewis and Wu, so how has she been constantly advocating on behalf of superpowered individuals? Once, just because of Wanda? He says, yes, I know about your history with Carol Danvers. So, if he's the director, of course he'd know. He'd know, she'd know that he knows. So it's not a secret, probably not to anybody. And why didn't he say Captain Marvel? He said Carol Danvers. Does he actually have a thing against either Captain Marvel or superheroes in general? Any way you shake it, it seems like Hayward is up to no good. He whines about the people who got snapped having the luxury of optimism and nobody understanding what it took to keep going. He wondered earlier if she was ready to go back to work. It seems he's not ready for everyone to come back. She calls him out as a coward.
Maybe it's a good thing you weren't here when your mother died. Because clearly you don't have the stomach for this job.
And then he orders them off the base. So he's just donning this classic bad guy TV trope persona. And it's a little disappointing, honestly, that there isn't more to it. But it really just seems like they're just trying to make him the bad guy. Three soldiers walk them out. Wu says Hayward is overstepping his provisional authority. Rambeau says he was looking for an excuse and he's up to something. And I agree. At the trucks to take them outside, Wu sucker punches one guard and Rambeau takes a cue, goes for the other. Wu's stunt doubles does some great work taking out the third guy, and they drag them into a shipping container and don some sword gear to blend in. Then we go back inside to the busy streets of Westview. Billy and Tommy go off to collect candy after briefly addressing the camera. Uncle Pietro says, "Unleash hell, demon spawn," and that's basically what Billy and Tommy were in the comics, shards of the soul of Mephisto. Wanda takes the opportunity to test Pietro. She asks him if he remembers a kid in the orphanage trying to steal Pietro's boots with the skin thing after Mom and Dad died. He calls her right out.
You're testing me.
No, I'm not.
Hey, it's cool. I know I look different.
Why do you look different?
You tell me.
Pietro reassures her, not with an answer, but with understanding. If I found Shangri-La, I wouldn't want to be reminded of the past either. The boys come back. Uncle Pietro offers to help them get candy. First time he says Kick-Ass, which is a movie that both the previous Pietro, Aaron Taylor Johnson, who was the star of Kick-Ass, and this current one, Evan Peters, who was also in that movie, and they were friends, I think, in the movie. Pietro also drops a Top Gun line, appropriate coming out of the 80s and into the 90s pop culture. Then Wanda sees Herb. He's dressed as Frankenstein's monster. He's listening in an earpiece, but that's kind of high-tech for the 90s, unless maybe he was just wearing it, Parod Pros or something, before Wanda changed them. He says things are slow, but then he gets word that all the candy's gone, then jack-o'-lanterns have been smashed, and everyone is covered in silly string, and we see Quicksilver taking the boys around, doing those things, while he's saying it in super speed. Wanda says, well, maybe Vision can help. Rather than just say, yeah, Herb says, oh, he's not on duty. But Wanda didn't say, why isn't Vision helping out if he's on duty? Herb probably could have just said, yeah, if you see him, tell him we'd love to help. And then she could have said, oh, I thought he was helping you out. Herb, in this case, is basically just ratting him out, right? It wasn't a very good piece of writing if that was all it was supposed to do. Unless there's this other layer, it was just a poor piece of writing. Herb seems more like an agent of the chaos, though, because he offers to help Wanda out. Do you want something changed? What's he going to do? What power does he have? We haven't seen him with any power. In fact, we've seen him kind of just glitch into a concrete wall in the conversation that he was having with Agnes. He seemed kind of glitching there, too. Like, it's all because we're So it doesn't make much sense here, but maybe he is on the Agent of Chaos's side, the person who is doing this to Wanda. Where's Vision? Well, he's walking the streets. Comes across a nice house where a woman's putting up decorations. She's in a loop, moving her arm back and forth, and behind her a man appears to be doing the same thing, never putting down a jack-o'-lantern near his front door, and they're both in a loop. And then you see the woman, she has a tear shed from her eye. Now I wonder, why didn't Vision liberate her? Why didn't he go up to her and him and touch their foreheads and liberate them to find out something? Well, he continues up the hill, though, and no one else around seems to notice those two people and that in that endless loop. Kids, though, they're trick-or-treating up and down the street. And then we get to our commercial break.
I'm so hungry, I'd eat anything.
It's a Claymation commercial. There's a boy dressed in a red shirt on a small island, just a tree, a crab, and a fishbone. He says he's so hungry he'd eat anything. A shark circles, then leaps out of the water with a surfboard. Hungry? I remember hungry. I used to be like that all the time. The boy asks, what did you do? The shark replies, snacked on yo magic, bro. It produces a Go-Gurt-looking package and says, now I have time to hang Finn. And this can't be any clearer. This is what is happening to Wanda. Someone is snacking on yo magic, bro. The boy's dressed in red. There's a red crab and a dead fish next to the shot. So the red could be Wanda and her magic. Maybe the fish bones are Vision's corpse and the crab, well, unless that's the people of the town, I don't know. I can't really figure that one out. The boy asks, can I have some? So the shark tosses him a strawberry yo magic cup and says, here you go, little dude. So this is like someone offering Wanda help. Wanda maybe saying, can you help me? Oh, I'm here to help you. Maybe Agnes, maybe Mephisto or someone else. Now the crab ran off early and the shark heads off underwater and out of sight. It didn't try to eat him, right? It just gave him a task, opening the yogurt, and then it left. Then we see time passing for the boy, who sits there trying to constantly open the yogurt cup, but never getting there. And his body desiccates in front of our eyes. The voiceover says, yo magic, the snack for survivors. So, Wanda is being kept busy while someone circles, feeding not off her, but off the energy. Or maybe it's Wanda feeding off the townspeople, and those ones farthest from her are slowly being sucked of all their energy, right? Either way, that's really creepy. Now, in the comics, that kind of work on Wanda sucking her magic out, they're siphoning her magic power from her, is worth a work of Agatha Harkness and Mephisto. So we'll see if Agnes and Mephisto end up being major characters in the season. There's only two episodes left, though, and we'll have to see if there are any more commercials to give us more hints, but I think this one is as clear as you can get.
Snacked on yo magic, bro. Now I have time to hang Finn.
Back to the show. Well, the Coronet Theater is playing two movies that didn't come out at the same time, but they're both Disney properties, so it's okay that they're all on the same marquee. The Incredibles, a movie about a superpowered family saving the world. That seems appropriate. The Parent Trap, about twins scheming to get their parents together. And, well, it has the words parent and trap right next to each other. So there's a trap, and maybe the parents are in a trap. I'm not sure. But Pietro is disappointed that Wanda is making the boys return the candy that they, speedily took up all across town. And he says, who beefed and you're borscht? That's not all. He says,
I'm just trying to do my part, okay? Come to town unexpectedly, create tension with the brother-in-law, stir up trouble with the Rugrats, and ultimately give you grief. I mean, that's what you wanted, isn't it?
Well, is it? Does she want that grief? Did she cast him specifically for all those things to come to town unexpectedly, create tension with the brother-in-law, stir up trouble with the Rugrats, give her grief? Or is it someone else that wants her to dwell on this? Now, maybe it's whoever sent Pietro, called for him, or conjured him, or maybe it's Pietro himself acting that way. Instead of thinking about that, though, Wanda focuses on his accent and what happened to it. Pietro does not answer, he just turns it around. What happened to yours? He then tries to explain that details are fuzzy and says he got shot on the street for no reason at all, then he heard her voice calling to him, and he knew she needed him. Wanda didn't see what happened. She only heard secondhand and felt Pietro die. This sounds like the explanation someone of a third party might use if they couldn't access your real memory, right? They would tell the story, not really vividly remember, like, I got shot because I was, went in front of the, took the bullet. None of that. So I really feel like this isn't the real Pietro. Well, the boys return saying full-size candy bars are a few blocks away. And then Tommy speeds off and comes back with the full-size candy bars. Uncle P is thrilled. He says he's a chip right off the old Maximoff block. He's got super speed. Tommy, of course, becomes the young Avenger Speed in the comics. And Billy eventually becomes Wiccan. Wanda starts to tell him he can take it slow, but Speed jets off for a bit, and then Wanda reaches out her arm and stops him. And that will kind of be repeated later by his brother. But Wanda says, take his brother with him. Just take his brother with him if you're going to do that. But don't go past Ellis Avenue, which they say in unison as if they heard it a million times.
Don't go past Ellis Avenue.
We know, Mom. We know.
Hey, be careful!
Back at the tents, the three musketeers are creeping through the tents until they get to the one they're looking for. Monica sees a little bit of the scene on a TV that we just saw unfold, but she wonders, who's this? Wu says it's Wanda's brother came to town, and Louis says, yeah, but he brought the wrong face. And I wonder if that's what happened. Someone's playing Pietro but got the wrong dimension's face when coming to town. Louis starts hacking into the base secure network, so add this to her list of skills, I guess. I mean, what good is security if an amateur can do it? Unless by hack, she actually means enter the passwords that maybe she collected while she was on base working because, she's sneaky, I guess. That is my only explanation as to otherwise, it's just so weak. That's just such a bad trope. I'm going to go hack in with just a few lines of code. Lewis then accesses Hayward's devices, finds a program to track Vision through the decay signature of vibranium through the barrier. So this is kind of grim. Vision is dead. He's decaying just like the vibranium, right? Rambeau is a little confused, though, but Lewis just started accessing the network, right? So Wu wonders about the blue dots next to the red Vision tracking beacon on the screen, and he guesses that it's townspeople. Wu zooms in, and the people near the edge of town are barely moving, though. He says, are they alive? And that's the first time I've thought of that. Like, are these people really just dead? And that kind of goes along with maybe Wanda is siphoning their physical energy, and maybe that's something that the beings who are trying to keep Wanda doing this are actually after, that they're trying to siphon all human energy or the planet's energy away through Wanda. Well, the target reacquires its Vision nearing a circle of houses near the edge of town. So we go back to Vision. He's heading to the street and people appear frozen on that circle of houses at the end of town. He tries to get a woman's attention, though. She doesn't answer, doesn't move, doesn't even flinch, which sets something up for us in a few moments. Vision does away with his costume version of himself by using his powers and floats above the town. He seems to be able to hear the bustle near the town center where Wanda is, but he notices not much is going on near the edge of town, and he very much notices the perimeter lights near the edge of town make a row of lights and then darkness. He also notices a car with brake lights on pointing toward that edge of town. So there's red taillights, right? Like, here I am, come talk to me. It's Agnes in the car with a witch's costume on. Clearly she's breathing before he even touches her, right? And she can answer him while she's supposedly frozen. She asks him in her frozen, quote, state, where Town Square Scare is, as if she'd gotten lost in what is supposed to be her hometown. He notices says something about it. He touches her forehead to liberate her like he did to Norm.
It's all right.
You're one of the Avengers. You're Vision. Are you here to help us?
I am Vision. I do want to help. But what's an Avenger?
I think she's full of it, though. After that, she appears confused. Wonders, why don't you know? She wonders aloud, are you dead? Vision now, from the trailers, asks, why would you think that? Agnes answers, as she did in the trailers, because you are? He says, because I am what? She starts saying, dead, dead, dead. And what I think is an attempt for her to mimic the looping, like the Mrs. Hart stop it, and then the Herb cutting concrete, the woman with the tear hanging decoration. I think she's trying to mimic a loop. He tells her what he wants to do, leave town, get help.
Agnes, it is my intention to reach those outside of Westview and make sense of our situation.
How? No one leaves. Wanda won't even let us think about it.
All is lost.
Agnes. Agnes, please, calm down. Agnes! I will fix this, Agnes, I promise.
Well, he touches her to make her go back to her delirious state, and so she does, and then he tries to reassure her that, you know, I'm going to find help and get help. And she says, okie dokie, neighbor, and turns the car around, and then happy Halloweeny. Then Vision heads off into the grass, crossing Ellis Avenue toward the darkness outside town. Back to the Three Musketeers, Lewis starts looking up medical records of Rambeau. Monica gets a text from someone, says she has to go meet her guy over the ridge and her way back into the hex will be here in an hour. Lewis says, you can't do that. Who says, yeah, I'm a whiz at hotwiring cars. But Lewis says, no, you can't go back in the hex because Monica's blood work shows her cells were rewritten at a molecular level, probably twice, and uses the phrase, it's changing you. Monica responds that she's seen enough lab results to last her lifetime, referring to her mom's cancer. She says she knows what Wanda's feeling and she won't stop until she helps her. Lewis says she's staying. She's got more work to do. She wants to find out more about Hayward, what he's doing. And then Wu and Rambeau head out in the truck towards, I guess, their guy. Back at the town square, Pietro seems impressed at how Wanda has built the town and says he thinks Mom and Dad would have loved it, and she agrees. Pietro then goes meta for us, asking where she got all the kids for this episode.
I assume they were all just sleeping peacefully in their beds. No need to traumatize beyond the occasional holiday episode cameo, am I right?
No,
You're always the empathetic twin.
I didn't.
And then lays out some things for us, the audience. He says, she handled the ethical consequences of the scenario as best she could. Families and couples stay together. Most personalities aren't far off from what's underneath, and people got better jobs, better haircuts. I don't know why that was important, but Wanda, seeking affirmation, asks if he thinks it's wrong. So this is like a psychological warfare that's going on between Pietro or whoever is playing Pietro and Wanda. He, of course, says, what are you kidding? I'm impressed. Seriously, it's a pretty big leap from giving people nightmares and shooting red wiggly woos out of your hands. Then he asks, how did you do all this? And this would be the moment that the spy is asking for the encryption key, right? He's trying to, like, oh, by the way, how did your evil plan go? He's probing for the key to unlock maybe this chaos magic. He offers up evidence that he can be trusted. He says, I'm not some stranger, and I'm not your husband. You can talk to me. So Agnes wasn't getting the job done, right? She's now tasked with getting Vision out of the picture. So the brother is brought in as a new tactic by whoever it is that's trying to unlock this key to this magic. But Wanda is honest. She doesn't remember how. She only remembers feeling completely alone, empty, endless nothingness. She turns away, turns back, and sees something that, again, she never saw. She never saw her brother shot up and grayed out like Vision. This is the program heading back into Berry mode, right? Like the Matrix trying to rewrite itself. Just like a dead body, they want her to bury the past. Since they got nothing from her, no key, no secret, so it's like, all right, let's get her back into her routine. Pietro asks, hey, are you okay? And she says she's fine, but he seems skeptical. Again, I think this is all an act.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Aha.
In the computer room of the Tent City, Darcy Lewis is hacking away. She finds a file on a secret weapons program named Cataract, and cataracts blur vision. So it's not very subtle, but I guess it's effective. She emails that file to Wu. Hayward has been tracking Vision, and when he appears close to the barrier, he sends his team out to recover him when he comes through, because he's expecting him to come through, right? Lewis sees that on her screen, too. Vision is then shown attempting to break through the barrier, and it's like he's walking against maybe a strong wind. Kind of like back in Episode 3 when Wanda brought in the wind to dry things off after the indoor rain. Well, he starts breaking apart when he's through. Hayward's fine with it. He says, he really does want out, doesn't he? With a smile of satisfaction, basically. Lewis forgets herself. You know, this is an Avenger. She runs up shouting, why aren't you helping him? Maybe Agnes and Herb are actually sword plants on the inside urging him out, right? Maybe their whole idea was to get him to learn some of the truth and then try to leave for Sword. Maybe he wasn't part of the original program or part of the original deal, if there's a deal between Hayward and whatever agents is working on Wanda on the inside. Vision coming apart, seemingly can't exist outside the Hex. Pieces of him start flying back towards the Hex. Billy senses this trouble at the town square now, because now his powers are being realized. He hears Hayward say that line, and then like his mom did earlier to his brother, he puts his arm out and stops Tommy in mid-super speed. Tommy seems to know that it was a superpower, that like the only way you could have stopped me is if you had a superpower, and he's happy about it. He's like, whoa, that's great, Billy. But Billy is concerned. They head toward Wanda immediately. He tells her that he hears Dad in his head and he's in trouble. And he is, of course.
The people need us!
And he's reaching out. Then Darcy gets handcuffed to a truck. Billy doesn't understand this power. Wanda asks, where is your dad? Where is Vision? Pietro, though, interjects crudely, saying, hey, don't sweat it, sis. It's not like your dead husband can die twice. Wanda blasts him with red energy through the air, and he goes into some graveyard decorations, which is appropriate because Pietro was also dead, like Vision. And then there's one of them is Dr. Revis, which could be virus, an anagram for virus. And then there's Janelle Sandelman. One of the tombstones there is actually one of the first credits listed. She's the first assistant director, so it's nice she gets a little nod from those of us doing all the digging, right? Wanda urges Billy to focus. He says he can't tell, but he sees soldiers, and they think he's dying. Wanda has had enough. She freezes. Everyone else in town, even the movie playing, freezes. Her eyes go red, and then they close. And then red bursts out of her like an explosion. Wu and Rambo are on the road, and they see the Hex moving in the rear view. They step on it. Hayward sees it, gets into the truck with some of his guys, and heads out. And others just start running away. Darcy has her A Christmas Story, oh fudge moment. And the Hex is expanding, and everything Sword turns into circus. Maybe because of the tents, I guess. They kind of are like tent, circus tents. So everybody, all the Sword agents become clowns and stuff. Hayward tries reaching his people on his radio, but it appears that only he and two others made it out from the camp, along with Wu and Rambo, of course. And so I wonder if they'll run into each other. Then Wanda opens her eyes. Red power gently fades. Please stand by. Slate appears and lets us know another episode is in the books. We're almost 40 minutes into this discussion episode, and we're just getting to our final thoughts. But I just have to wonder, is Hayward going to find the error of his ways, or will he continue to just be the bad guy because he's a convenient target for Monica? He seems like such a arch-villain bad guy, but every time we have this, I know they've got to have conflict, but why does the director or the guy in charge always have to be in some dastardly plot, right? Why couldn't he genuinely be concerned as well, unless he is really in charge of this plot, unless he is directing Wanda to do this. And maybe that's what we find out in the last two episodes. Now, is Vision healed now because he went back through the barrier? Or will he be a different Vision changed by the reintegration into the Hex? From the trailers, it looks like he's on Wanda's side in at least one of the next episodes, but there's two episodes left. So what's going to be the catalyst that brings him from trying to save the town from Wanda to saving the town with Wanda? Now, why can Agnes move if the other people can't? I think it's because, like I said before, she's not really affected by it. Like, and maybe Herb, they're playing some part assigned by an evil presence. Maybe it is Mephisto, but I don't think she's frozen like the others. I think she was playing, acting. Project Cataract. Is it a project designed around Vision's tech? Do people not remember what happened with Ultron and AI? I think the answer is they do. And there must be a reason that they don't care. I think that maybe it's the people high up in S.W.O.R.D. are actually some aliens like Skrulls that don't really care about Earth and just want the tech to save themselves. There's a interesting thought that I had. What if everybody died in a terrible accident? What if the entire town is dead? Another accident that Wanda couldn't stop, like Lagos. And then to compensate, to make things better in her mind, she created this alternate universe. The reason I ask that is because does the law of conservation of energy extend through realities? Every time she pulls from another reality, like if she pulled Pietro from another reality, is she destroying other realities and universes, pulling the energy from them? What's going on there? And why isn't everyone calling in the Avengers to help if things are this bad? Or are they eventually going to call in the Avengers? Or is the Avengers initiative just completely dead? I mean, they've got to have somebody there, right? If the blip had just come back, there's got to be some time frame before Tony Stark's funeral where the Avengers can help out. Because if this just happened right around the blip, 3 weeks after the blip, maybe that is time. Maybe Captain has already gone back and returned the stones. I gotta believe that someone else somewhere can help with this. At least a friend. Or maybe it's because Wanda and Vision isolated themselves on the run so much that there's no one that anyone can think of to intervene. You might be thinking, now, why would Pietro, if, like I've said, he might be in on it, why does he keep trying to seemingly break reality then by bringing stuff up? But if I'm right, the agents of chaos like Agnes and him only point things out or bring things up after they have built some trust with Wanda, and then they drop the curtain, like specifically to cause Wanda to bury things deeper inside, like Pietro doing that. In that sense, by doing it that way, they're calling attention to it, carefully crafting a scenario where they're not revealing themselves, but causing her to build bigger walls, because that's what they want. They want to put her on an island so she's alone, and then they can feed off her energy and desiccate her, right? Or siphon that energy off.
Snacked on yo magic, bro!
Now, I checked, and Adam Gold was the voice of the shark credited in the credits. And Tristan Chen was the voice of the kid in the commercials. So there's nothing we can deduce there outright. But wow, if Evan Peters had been the shark and then Wanda had been the voice of the child, like an altered voice of the child, wow. Or even just the kids themselves, right? The kids playing Billy and Tommy. That would have been something else. Now, Billy and Tommy have powers now. And it seems they've developed them independently, though Pietro was present for Tommy's first use of power. It seems he was genuinely happy to see it. And then Billy showed his first use when it was just him and his brother. Now, in the other episode, we were wondering if Agnes was actually causing them to age up, right? But Billy's powers seemed to manifest through some trauma, and Tommy's seemed to come through mischief. And I don't know if that works with their comic book characters. Will Pietro be back? Or will he be changed because he was hit with that magic? Why not get Aaron Taylor Johnson to reprise his role, right? It can't just be that they thought it would be funny or that Aaron Taylor Johnson is super busy. I mean, Evan Peters, great actor, though. And he does a great job. But Is there meaning to his appearance with the mutants? Or is it just a gag by the showrunner? Next week, if we don't see who Monica is meeting and we don't see Pietro anymore, we're going to end up feeling like these things should have been wrapped up, right? That we should have gotten an explanation. Unfortunately, they're setting themselves a bar, and we have expectations now that they're going to have to live up to, or we're going to be left, you know, they're building. We don't want to drop off at the end, at the last episode, say, well, it was really building up to be really great, like Game of Thrones, maybe. And then at the last minute, we get really lackluster explanations. The enemy's got to be both intimidating and have long-term consequences to the Marvel Universe, right? They've also got to be defeated, though, or sidelined at least, like Dormammu was in Doctor Strange. The whole town has to make sense by the end of this season. This feels like a special series, not a multiple season run for the show. Unless, are they really going to keep Wanda and Vision in limbo in Westview, holding whoever it is or whatever it is going on at bay? It's just not interesting if Wanda is only doing this for herself. We, the audience, don't want to wait for the Multiverse of Madness for an explanation. And the show, WandaVision, shouldn't be required watching to get the next Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness movie. So I don't know what they're going to do, but there's a lot riding on these last two episodes, and they're going to have to start explaining something. They need to set up the villain in the next episode so that we can finish them off in the final one. So I think we're going to start to see answers, and soon. Like with Monica's aerospace engineer, who's going to be able to turn around her specifications in such a short time? The only thing I can think of is someone like Hank Pym or Ghost, the Ava girl from Ant-Man and the Wasp, or Janet, Pym's wife, or Dr. Bill Foster, someone who can design all that and then have it miniaturized, right? Maybe even the Hulk. I mean, Reed Richards is still a possibility, but it's got to be somebody that is worth the wait. But what do you think? Email us at thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or interact with us on Twitter at thewayphase4. Episode 6 was again directed by Matt Shakman, written by Chuck Hayward and Peter Cameron, and it's created by Jack Schaefer, who I may have implied in a past podcast was a guy, but if I did, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. She is the showrunner, and she's doing a great job. And incidentally, she's going to be writing, or she's written already, the Black Widow movie. So if you're making a show that's kicking off your Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 4 stuff, maybe it helps to have someone who's got a knowledge of the movies going forward. Not saying that Black Widow is going to tie in here, but maybe having someone like that write your show and show run your first show out of the gate on Disney Plus is a good idea. Episode 7 comes out Friday, February 19th. This has been This is the Way Phase 4's discussion of Season 1, Episode 6 of WandaVision. I'm Steve Lascalzo. Until next time, friends.